Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I won't fall asleep while I'm up here, but I might trip over my words a little bit or lose track, but y'all just bear with me and we'll get through this together. I just want to open us up in prayer before we get started tonight, if y'all will join me. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for the blessings that you've poured out on us, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to speak into this house, Lord. I ask that you just lead and guide me, lead and guide my words, the things that you would have me to speak. Father, I pray for open ears and open hearts. I want to pray that you teach us how to be faithful with the finances that you've given us, Lord. And as we speak tonight on debt, Father, I just speak against deficit spending in this house, Lord. I ask that you break people free from it, Lord, that they're set free and finally find financial freedom, Lord. Father, we love you and we pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, this week I wanted to start it off just a little bit different. I had several questions from last week that people would hit me up with after service and Sunday that they talked about, and we're wanting to keep this like a classroom setting. So if you did talk to me, don't be embarrassed. I'm not going to bring up your name or anybody. I'm not going to tell anybody who it was, but I just thought it would be a good, classroom environment to bring up, what we talked about. So start out with question one. The first question that somebody asked me was, do I use a free version of Excel? Well, yeah. Of course I do. Who are y'all talking to? Not, but yes, I do use a free version of Excel for my home. I use Microsoft Excel at work because they pay for it, but at home I do use a free version, and that version is WPS Office. The people that asked me to email them a budget, I went ahead and emailed them a link to it. It is a free download. You can download your computer. It comes with a PDF viewer, a writer, which is basically Microsoft Word, and then spreadsheets, which is basically a knockoff version of Excel. It transfers back and forth between Excel and it very flawlessly for simple stuff as formulas and stuff like that. If you used a lot of graphs and pie charts, I don't know, or macros if you use a lot of them, but as far as what we use it for, it works really great. Question two was, what is the best way to budget for construction projects? All types of projects, they need their own separate budget, whether it be Christmas, birthday, remodeling, et cetera. Anything that's not your normal monthly budget, it needs its own separate budget. We use this budget to see how much finances we need to come up with, and then we use our monthly budget to acquire those finances, if that makes sense. The other part of that was, how do I know how much to budget for? And the best answer for that is research. Whether it be online, get a list of the materials that you need. You can search online and get prices for all of it, or you can go old school and you can get a pen and piece of paper and go in the store and write down the prices. If you're needing somebody else to do the work, don't feel free to call for quotes too from people. Call and get quotes for them to see how much it's going to cost. And then the third one was a discussion on what baby step am I actually on? And I got this one on the board. So talking to somebody, they were asking about paying off their home early. They thought they were here. And then the more that I talked to them, they were already investing the 15%. They already had their 3 to 6 months, but they also still had debt. So this was my advice to them. One, they quit putting money in their retirement. They stopped their investing at that point. They used their 3 to 6 months expenses to put towards that debt, and then they put all their focus on paying off that debt. They're not really here. You're not really on six if you still have debt. You're still on two. And the whole reason that they teach that is they don't want you splitting up your finances. I mean, your wealth building tools, your income. So you don't want to split it three or four different ways. So you want to, the first three baby steps, you really want to focus on them one at a time. And then question four was, what do I do when someone unexpectedly asks me out to eat? Tell them no. Tell them I ain't doing it. No, I'm just joking. No. Yeah, you sing them the song. But this one I thought was a good question too. First off, budget for it if you can. You put that in your budget. If eating out and stuff like that is something you and your partner agree y'all enjoy doing, put it in your budget. Plan on it. Depending on what baby step you're on, you can use your savings for this. I approve that. Obviously, if you're on step one and you don't even have a $1,000 emergency fund, you don't need to be going out to eat. You can tell them no. But if you're on seven, that changes the whole ball game. And notice I did say savings, not your emergency fund. going out to eat is not an emergency. And then last thing is just to invite them, you know, think of other ways. Tell them why, you know, don't just tell them no. Tell them what you're doing, you know, encourage them. Tell them, hey, you really can't do it right now. I'm looking at getting out of debt, or I'm looking at paying my house off early. I'm looking at saving for this. You know, encourage other people. You never know. Sometimes we feel, you know, ashamed of it or something like that, but you don't have to be ashamed. You know, your story may encourage someone else. They'll be like, hey, that's a good idea. Maybe I should get on that bandwagon. And another thing is, you know, invite them over or ask for a rain check. Say, hey, I can't do it right now, but can I do it later? So that was the question. So y'all can still talk to me after this. I don't want everybody to be like, well, I'm not talking to him. He's going to bring it up. That's the way pastor's kids feel. Their whole life gets broadcasted over the microphone. So just to review, last week we did talk about budget. We talked about how important it was. We talked about how it puts us in control of our finances. We talked about how to fill out a budget, and we talked about having a budget meeting. This week, we're going to begin to tackle our baby steps. And baby step one is a $1,000 emergency fund. This one, to some people, it's very simple. You know, it doesn't sound hard at all. It's very simple to come up with $1,000. You may already have $1,000. That's great. To some people, this is the hardest step, though. It may sound crazy, but $1,000 is a lot of money to some people. Other thing is, some people, it drives them crazy knowing that they have $1,000 and it's just sitting in their bank burning a hole in their pocket. So don't let it drive you crazy if you got $1,000. You don't have $1,000. Your emergency fund has $1,000. So just look at it that way. It's also, sometimes it can be hard because you're in a transition. You've spent all this time doing whatever you wanted to. So you're trying to get control over your life and your finances, and you're trying to turn a page there. So sometimes that's why it's hard. In this, the importance of emergency funds. See, I got tripped up there, y'all. I told y'all we'd get through this, though. Because it's important, the main reason, Murphy's Law, y'all have heard of it. If things can go wrong, they will go wrong. Things are going to happen. You're going to have dead car batteries. You're going to get surprise doctor visits, or appliance is going to quit working, or you're going to need a new tire on your car. You know, things are going to happen. But it's okay. You know, when you got this, you're prepared for it. And what it does is it puts a buffer in between you and these things. It keeps you from having to go backwards and go back in debt when you got these things on. So our number one goal, we're going to save $1,000 as fast as we can if we don't already have that. And this is where, if you ever listen to Dave, this is where Dave begins to get a little bit crazy because, you know, if you don't have a $1,000 emergency fund, guess what? That means you're broke. That's the way he looks at it, and you need to look at it that way. So it does mean, you know, making cuts, not going out to eat, not going to the movies. You know, we're eating beans and rice for supper every night because, hey, we don't have money. So everything else gets put on hold. We're making minimum payments on all of our bills until we get this $1,000. Once we get the $1,000, we're going to go to baby step two, tackle debt. And debt is what we're, you know, it's one of our main focuses in this series, and it's what we're going to focus on tonight. Debt is a huge problem in our culture nowadays. It's got to the point where, you know, in America, we've normalized it. We've just made it, hey, it's just an everyday thing. I do want to give you some numbers for some debt in America, just to open your eyes and get you a grasp on how bad I feel that it really is. Well, it's not just me. These are real numbers. I didn't make these up. In the past 5 years, the U.S. has averaged 509,000 people to file bankruptcy every year. That's people, not businesses. So 500,000 people for the last 5 years, every year, they're filing bankruptcy. In 2022, America's total credit card debt came in at $1.079 trillion, and I wrote that out for you because sometimes when we do 1.907, you don't realize how big the number is. That's America's total credit card debt. Statistics show that 22% of cardholders owe more than $10,000 on a credit card. So there's a lot of crazy spending out there. And about every year, finances is in the top five reasons people claim for getting a divorce. And I'm not even going to start on the government. By the time I could have put the governments up there, and by the time I got here, we'd already grown the national deficit. So I ain't even going to go there. But I'm here to tell you to make sure that you know debt is a problem. It is not a plan. Debt is saying that I want what I want, and I want it now. I know I don't have the money for it, but I want it anyways, and I'm going to go get it. Credit card companies do not want you to hear that, believe it or not. They spend tons of money trying to make debt feel normal. Come on, everybody's doing it. It's just the way of life nowadays. This is, I mean, everybody has debt. That's just coming. So let me preach to you for just a minute, if y'all don't mind. If we as Christians know the whole world is going in one direction, you know, that should be a red flag to us, you know. I got a scripture for you, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 16. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the wide gate is broad in the way, and it leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're called to be set apart from the world. They make it look cool. They make it look like, hey, you need that brand new car. Yeah, I mean, you deserve it. Well, I agree with that. If you work hard and you save the money and you choose to spend it on a brand new car, then yes, you do deserve that new car. If you don't have the money, then you haven't earned it yet. You're simply saying, I haven't earned it yet, but I will in the future. I got a question for you. Do you know why the company spends so much money and resources normalizing debt? I mean, this may be a surprise to you, but because they're getting rich off of it. That's it. They don't care about you. They don't care if you got money. They're making money off of it, and they're getting filthy rich off of it. They don't care how much you spend on eating out. They don't care how many vacations you take. Their goal is to keep you enslaved to debt, and they're getting rich off of it is the main point. Another way that they've normalized debt is going away from cash. I don't know if y'all have noticed this. They just keep pushing it harder and harder on us. But when you use a debit card or a credit card, you swipe it. You got to where you tap it now. You can just tap that thing. I mean, it's fast. Or use your phone. You can just double-click your phone and pay. But you tap it, beep, it's done. It's over with. When you use cash, you have to hand over. You have to physically hand over something. You feel it. You had it. Hey, that was mine, and I gave it to you. You know, there's an emotional connection there you have with it. It's a lot easier to lose something that you never had. In instance, that's why they take taxes out of checks before they give them to you. You know how furious people would be if they gave you all the money and then you had to write a check at the end? Just ask somebody that owns their own business that has to do it. They get furious over it. They realize how much they're actually paying the government. With that same process, though, it's the best way to save. You know, you're thinking it's a lot easier to get rid of something or put it somewhere before you actually handle it. So if you do have direct deposit, this is what I do. I go ahead and send my savings straight to my savings account. That way I don't have to worry about it. Or that way I don't ever realize or feel like I'm losing it. Dave's stance on debt. If you've ever listened to him talk about debt, this is something that he's extremely passionate about. A scripture that he uses a lot is Proverbs 22:7. Says the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And some translations even say slave to the lender. So being in a debt to him is a lot more than just money. It's about being free and breaking chains loose. And as long as you're in debt, then you're a servant to the lender. And Jesus says no one can serve two masters. So tackling debt, the debt that we're going to be tackling in baby step two is anything that we owe besides your home. So that's cars, that's credit cards, that's hospital bills, student loans, your mama, if you owe her, we're going to pay her back. We're going to get everybody paid back. Some people argue this isn't the best way, or the way we're going to tackle it is using the debt snowball. And the debt snowball is putting your smallest balance to your largest balance, and we're going to tackle the balance. And some people argue that it isn't the best way to tackle your debt. Some people say try to find the lowest interest rate because that's where you're losing the most money, but we're not going to do that. We're going to go the smallest balance to the largest. And the main reason we're doing that is because starting out, you really need some wins. You know, you want to tackle your smallest balance because you get a sense of gratitude. You know, you feel like you're accomplishing something when you get some of these bills off of you. And the other reason that we do it is We're on track to freeing up our greatest asset, and that is our income. You know, as we free up this one, we're going to add it to the next one, and you'll see. And I actually have an example of it here on paper because sometimes stuff's hard to explain in words, and some people like numbers like I do. So I just made up like four bills here. You can see the top left is the start. This is adding $200 extra. I got all of our balances laid out here from the smallest balance to the largest. And then right here is their minimum payment. You'll see their minimum payment is different on here. We didn't go with the smallest minimum payment. We went with the smallest balance. So this is an extra $200 that we come up with in our savings to throw at our debt. Hey, we're on track. We're on plan. We're getting out of debt. This is what we're going to do. We come up with $200 extra. So first out, that's going to put us putting $600 towards our balance. Once that one pays off, we don't have to worry about that one anymore. Now we're taking that $600 and we're adding it to the minimum payment we were putting on this one. So that puts us at $843 on this one. We're tacking this one with $843. Then once we pay this one off, we're taking that $843 and adding it to the $297. So now we're putting $1,140 towards this bill. So now we're starting to gain momentum now that we gained some ground. So once we pay off our student loan, move into our last car payment, which now we're able to put $1,690 towards it until we get all of our debt paid off. That was a lot more easier to understand, wasn't it, since I wrote it out. Did I do a good job? Is anybody out there? I had to do a welfare check on you guys every once in a while just to make sure you are still with me. So now that we've got this, we're going to say, how do I attack this? First, that's what I told y'all. I knew I was going to jump around. So now that we got baby step two, once you get through with it, we're going to go on to baby step three, which is our 3 to 6 month emergency fund. To me, this is one of the best steps. I feel like it's really a transition phase in your finances. Once you get from baby step two to baby step three, in this step, you begin to transition from just survival mode to thriving. You start getting a breath of fresh air. You start getting some space between you and the debt. For me, the biggest wake-up call, I was at this at baby step three during COVID in 2020 when they shut everything down. We were working along fine at work. Everything was normal. I mean, we'd heard about COVID. It was all over the news. We knew it was a big deal. But they sent us home one day and told us not to come back. You know, we shut down. We were in mid, wide open, and then we shut down and didn't do anything for a month. And I know I had the next week, I had a lot of people at work for me. They were texting me. They were calling me. It's like, hey, are we coming back to work? Hey, what are we going to do? Imagine trying to be everybody in America, sign up on unemployment all at the same time. You didn't know how they were going to get income. But luckily, I was already at this step. Very thankful that, hey, I had my 3 to 6 months. I wasn't really worried about it. It was really a good time for us and our family. We enjoyed every day. We took camping trips and everything like that. We had a really good time. But I actually text Pastor David at Life Chapel. I remember texting him then and thanking him for putting on the class, because I felt like I felt like that class really helped put me and my family in a good situation. So how do we get there? So we know what we want to do, but now we got to come up with a plan of attack. First, you got to determine how much you need for that 3 to 6 months. What is 3 to 6 months look like for you and your family? If you're going for 3 months, I think the reason that they have, 3 to 6 months, I feel like it's your call. You can pick it. For me, if you're going for 3 months, I would plan on substituting your income completely. Hey, what do I bring in for 3 months? That way if I didn't work for 3 months, I would be okay. If you're going for the 6 months, you can shoot for your expenses. Like what could I just live off of? What could get me by for 6 months? And on my side, what I do is I just keep it simple. $1,000 is step one. I go for $10,000 for step two. That's my emergency fund. If I get below it, I'm not freaking out. If I get a little bit below $10,000, we're not poor. I'm not saying, hey, we can't eat out. But if I get over that, we're not rich and we're not going and buying something either, that mindset. But yes, sir.
And the $1,000 carries into the 3 to 6 months, or is it a separate?
No, it carries in there. Yep. You started out with just a simple emergency fund just to get by the simple things. Then once you get all your debt paid off, then you're going to start adding to that. And the way that we're going to do that is we're going to take what we ended with there. We'll just use our example up there. Hey, we got through with all of our bills. We had $1,100-something. Now that starts going. We're starting to apply that every month to our emergency fund. I did want to give you guys – I did want to give you guys my mind. That felt good, just being quiet for a minute, honestly. I needed that, honestly. As growing, I told the pastor that one time. I was like, I feel like I need to get up there and just be quiet for a minute just so to know that I'm not going to pass out or anything. I don't have to talk the whole time, but that felt really good. My mindset, I did want to go through that for this. My mindset through step one, you know, this doesn't have to be yours. This is just me. I thought it would be good to bring it up. My mindset, when I was at step one, when I didn't have $1,000, then I was broke. I wasn't acting, and I was acting like I was broke. We wasn't going out to eat or anything. People, you know, asked me, I was like, hey, I really don't have the money to do that right now. I'm saving for something. Step two, when I owed someone else, I was still broke. I didn't let the false sense of debt keep me from realizing that I still don't have money. I'm in debt. Every bit of money that I have, I already owe that to somebody else. I had that mentality on me. In step three, I felt, man, it feels good to have an emergency fund. Step three, I began to, it's a breath, like I said earlier, you begin to feel that, hey, I'm free, I don't have any debt. Hey, I actually have some money in the bank, so if anything happens, you know, we're good. You start to get that freedom. So homework for tonight. He's right. You do have homework. Has anybody done their homework? Y'all can be honest. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you very much for doing your homework. Everybody else, thank you for being honest. Homework, depending on what step you're on, we're going to come up with a plan of attack. So meaning if you're at step one right now, we're going to plan on how we're going to come up with $1,000. That's our priority number one. We're going to be making cuts in our expenses. We're going to be selling something if we have to. We're going to be getting a part-time job if we need to. All the above, if that's what it takes. But that's our priority. We got to get some kind of buffer zone because we just said earlier, things are going to happen. I mean, something's going to come up. We got to get something to keep us from taking a step backwards. Step two, if you're on step two, we're going to list out all our debt from smallest balance to largest balance. And from your budget, you're going to pull all the extra money that you can. The monthly budget that you didn't work on a couple of weeks ago, from your monthly budget, we're going to pull all of our extra money and we're going to start applying it to step two to try to get out of that. And then step three, if you're on step three, you're looking at building your fully funded emergency fund, we're going to plan out how much we really need. Like I talked to you earlier, you need to sit down and decide, what does that look like for me? What would make me comfortable for 3 to 6 months? How much money do I have to have, or my family have to have, for us to fully functional? And then we're going to, same way, you're going to come from your monthly budget, and you're going to come up with a plan on how you're going to get there. You know, you don't have to get there overnight. You can't just snap your fingers and, hey, I'm there. But we're going to start trying to pull all our resources together to see how we can get there. If you're on step three and you find out that, hey, I already have more in savings than I need for that 3 to 6 months, we're going to start next week. We're going to start going over what we're going to start applying that to, if that makes sense. Hey, if I'm at step three, I found out that my family only needs this much money. Hey, I actually have more than that. We're going to see how we're going to start applying that to our life next week. All right. That's all I got, guys. Y'all still there? Yeah. I love y'all.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. I want to say a few things before we dismiss tonight. First, I want to say, if you find yourself in the hole of debt, don't leave here tonight condemned. Like he said, get a plan of attack. Get in, you know, there's different maybe reasons as to why you got there. Maybe it was an emergency at the time, at the moment. But now you are armed with what you need to start getting out of that hole. And so I don't want you to leave here going, well, I'm part of that statistic up there. And I don't want you feeling overwhelmed. That's why we're doing this, is so that you can come out of it. And you can maybe even break some generational curses that are in your family. Maybe your family for generation after generation has never had enough, always been behind the eight ball, always, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. What my goal is, I want my children to be set up better than I was. I don't want them to be spoiled, not know how to work, not know how to earn things, but I want them to be set up and have the knowledge of how to be a good steward and know what I didn't know when I was first starting out. Madison and I, we really didn't have much of a clue what we were doing when we got married, but through the help of the Lord and through other people's advice. In fact, my favorite Dave Ramsey quote is this: just because you can make the payment, it doesn't mean you can afford it. America does not understand that. We think that we can make the payment, so therefore we can afford it. But that's not true, because you are still making yourself a slave to the lender when you do that. And I understand wanting to have nice things and wanting to be excellent and wanting to be presentable, but the most excellent thing that we can do is be a good steward of what God gave us. And so I wanted to say a couple other things. Number one, specifically when Pastor Jeff was answering the question about a construction budget, this is something I've learned in my life. Madison and I have done a lot of construction projects, this church being one of them. And one of the things that I've learned is do not go off of what someone else told you your budget should be, okay? You'll call your dad or you'll call someone that you've worked with before. You're like, oh, they've done drywall. I'll call them. Hey, how much should we be expecting to pay for drywall? That's not a budget. Okay, that is part of your research, but you still need to go out and go, okay, they said it's going to cost this much. Is that really how much it's going to cost? And price it out and make sure, because I've done budgets based on what Joe Schmo told me the budget was going to be, and it came in way different. It was way more than they said, or I found I could do it way less. Because some people, their standards are, I'm going to get a licensed person, and I'm going to do it this way, and I'm going to do it that way. So their budget may be 10 grand to your 7 grand if you find a way to do it yourself, as long as you can do a good job. But so don't just go based off of somebody else's budget. Actually, like he was saying, do the research and make sure yourself. But I hope that this is helping you guys. I know that it's helping myself and my family. Our goal is we want to help people grow in every aspect of life. And I believe that finance, what we don't realize is if we are unhealthy in any area, we're unhealthy in all areas. Okay? There's some people that they can pray in tongues, they can cast out devils, they can sing, they can pray, they can preach, but they can't balance their checkbook. Okay? And at the end of the day, this is a pivotal part of integrity, what we do with our money. So let's be integral, faithful people. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Thank you, Pastor Jeff, for all this work and time that you're putting into it. And we pray blessings over you as you continue to work those difficult hours that you've been working that you're not always used to. But let me pray for you and your family. If you would, close your eyes, bow your head, and join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have blessed us exponentially, both in spirit, soul, and also in our body. And we just say thank you for that tonight. God, I pray that you would help us to put into action these steps that we've been given. God, I thank you that there's biblical principles that are at work here, God, and we don't want to be slave to the lender. Your word says, owe no man anything except love one to another. God, let us get to that place so that we can live and give like nobody else. God, I understand that all these principles, they may not apply to everybody, but let us find the nuggets of truth that we need to find in the midst of it and apply what we need to apply. God, let every person do what they feel like you, the Holy Spirit, is leading them to do in this moment and in this season. God, help us, give us grace. And Lord, I pray as we pray each and every Sunday during the sower's blessing, unexpected monies to find us or be discovered. God, I pray that you would bless us as we seek to do your will with our finances, God, and honor you in all that we do. We love you. We praise you. And I say now to you tonight, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, and may he smile all over you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you so much. We hope to see you Sunday morning and Sunday night for a night of worship. Love y'all.